Gittin, Perkches Mishnah Vav 8:6. This Mishnah in truth has nothing directly to do with Gittin. In the previous Mishnah, we had said that if a get is not valid, even midrabanan, and then a woman erroneously thinks she has a good get, and she remarries, and turns out that the get wasn't good, so then basically the second marriage is invalid, and everything unwinds, and there are a series of knasot, of penalties that apply, and her children are mamzerim from the second marriage. So this Mishnah has a different scenario where woman, again, kind of acting in good faith, not in the context of Gittin, but in a different context, getting remarried from their first marriage and then turning out they weren't allowed to do that. And we're saying that the same kind of penalties and consequences that were present in the previous Mishnah apply in this case as well. So this case over here is talking about a situation of erroneous Yibum. I'll remind you from the beginning of Maseches Yevamos, we learned the basic principle, which is that if you have two brothers, let's say Reuven and Shimon, and let's say, you know, if Shimon dies and he has no descendants, no living descendants at the time of his death, so then his brother Reuven has to take one of Shimon's wives through Yibum, or could do Chalitza, but he could marry one of those widows through Yibum and build up Shimon's name through that continuation of that marriage. Now, in the beginning of Yevamos, it says that certainly if the widow in question is a relative of the living brother Reuven in such a way they're not allowed to get married, like, so for example, let's say Reuven had a daughter, okay? And then his brother Shimon married Reuven's daughter. So in other words, Shimon married his niece. So now, if Shimon dies without any living descendants, so his wife certainly cannot go and marry Shimon's brother, because Shimon's brother is her father. Can't marry your father, of course. And therefore, she's exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum altogether. And the beginning of Maseches Yevamos, we see that there are actually 15 different relationships where that could come out, where, you know, Shimon's widow couldn't marry the brother Reuven because they're arayos, there's an incestuous relationship which would prohibit that marriage. Now, further, that Mishnah says that if Shimon had multiple wives, let's say A, B, and C, and let's say that A was the late Shimon's brother Reuven's daughter, so just as A can't marry Reuven because A is Reuven's daughter, so as well, B and C don't need to do Yibum either, meaning not just A is free to go and marry whomever she wants, but also the co-wives of A, B and C, can also marry whomever they want without doing Yibum or Chalitza. In other words, there's no Yibum or Chalitza applicable whatsoever. Okay, the co-wives are called Tsaros, okay, from like the word Tsara, causing difficulty and trouble, but the point is they're co-wives. So there we learned that if one co-wife is exempt, so then all the, because of an existing incestuous relationship with the surviving brother, then all the widow co-wives are free to marry whomever they want, and no one needs to do Yibum or Chalitza. So our Mishnah is going to say, if on the basis of that, B and C went to marry somebody else, but it turns out that the marriage between their late husband Shimon and A, Reuven's niece, his niece who he married, Reuven's daughter, if it turns out that marriage was actually not valid in the first place, so then Shimon never married his niece. Therefore, his niece wasn't his wife. And therefore, they're just two wives, B and C, neither of which have any restrictions on doing Yibum with Shimon's surviving brother, Reuven. And therefore, they should have done Yibum. They shouldn't have married somebody else. They should have first done Yibum with Reuven, or at least Chalitza with Reuven. One of them should have. And since neither one did, both of their marriages are invalid, and therefore everything has to unwind. They have to get divorced from their new husbands. They can't go back to Reuven, and everything is a big mess. Like we saw in the previous Mishnah, the same mess would apply over here. Children being mamzerim, all the benefits and legal rights and obligations of the ksuba being null and void, etc. Okay, so how does that work? How could that happen? So the case is that when Shimon married his niece, Reuven's daughter A, so she was still young, let's say 12 years old, which was typical in the time of the Mishnah, and they assumed that she would grow up to be a regular woman. But it turns out that this girl never went through puberty. She's what's called an ilonus. She had one or another type of problems where she doesn't, you know, have the hormones produced that make her go through puberty to become a woman who could bear children. And an ilonus, who never reaches maturity to be able to bear children, is considered to be not... When Shimon married this girl, it was on the implicit assumption she would grow up to be a woman. Since she was not capable of ever being a woman because she had this hormonal issue, she's an ilonus, Therefore, we say retroactively, lamafreya, that marriage was never a marriage, and Reuven was never married to his niece A. That being the case, there was no existing incestuous relationship that would exempt the tsaros B and C from doing yibum with Reuven, and therefore they should have done yibum, but they didn't, and therefore they had to leave their current husbands and do divorce from the current husband, and also essentially do a chalitza from Reuven. They can't marry him, and so on. So that's our Mishnah outside. Our Mishnah inside says like this: Kol ha'arayos she'amru tsarosein mutaros. All the different incestuous relationships that A could have to the surviving brother of her late husband, we'll call that Reuven, of their 15 different ones, being Reuven's daughters, one of them, there are 14 other ones, and that would exempt all the tsaroseyan, all of her co-wives, B and C, who are all widows now, to marry whomever they want, mutaros. Halchu hatsaros ha'elu v'nisu. If what happened was the other wives, B and C, went and married somebody else. V'nimtsu, and then it turns out that, in fact, elu alonios, one or more than one of Shimon's wives who he thought were exempt from doing yibum with the surviving brother Reuven because of this incestuous relationship, turns out that they were ilonios. They're never going to become grown women, and therefore the marriage that this girl A had to Shimon never was a marriage. So then you're left just with B and C are the only two widows. They didn't do yibum as they were supposed to. They were over a law from the Torah of Yivam Lashok. They should have married done yibum first, but they didn't. And therefore the dinah, says the Mishnah, teitze mize umize. They have to separate, leave both their current husband who they married and mize, the other guy, Reuven. Meaning they can't say, okay, Reuven, now that we have to, we can't stay married to our husbands, well, one of us will marry you through yibum. Nope, no longer that's possible either. Meaning Reuven has to give them a chalitza. She has to get a get from the current husband, and she can't marry either of those two people, either Reuven or the current husband, ever. V'chol hadrachim ha'elu ba, and all of the various penalties that we saw, the consequences that we saw in the previous Mishnah regarding this invalid type of marriage, they apply here as well. The whole list from the previous Mishnah, I won't go into them now. Okay, now, one important din is lahalacha. The most significant of all of the consequences we saw in the previous Mishnah was the one that the children that were born from the second marriage are considered to be mamzerim. Now, our Mishnah seems to be going according to Rabbi Akiva. That's how the bartender learns. Because Rabbi Akiva holds that even a simple Isra Lav, not an Isra Karis, produces mamzerim. In other words, we paskin lahalacha, not like Rabbi Akiva. We say only relationships that are forbidden under penalty of karis, whatever that is exactly, divine excision, premature death, whatever it is, those are the ones which produce mamzerim. But lesser prohibited incestuous relationships, like for example, Yivam Lashuk, which isn't even incestuous at all, that's just a simple love. The Torah says that this girl, B and C, one of them, neither can marry anybody they want until at least one of them does Yivam or Chalitza with Reuven. They didn't do that, so they are in violation of this Yivam Lashuk, generic prohibition, according to Rabbi Akiva, that produces mamzerim. We paskin, however, that's not true. We paskin only relationships that have a penalty of karas produce mamzerim, and therefore lahalacha, although the other penalties would apply because the marriage that B and C created was an invalid marriage, their children, should there be any children, are not considered to be mamzerim at all. They just would be, children that were, whatever, children, they're not mamzerim, period. The marriage was illegal, but the children are not mamzerim.